Haggadah insights this year.
What?
We have Haggadah insights this year.
Hopefully. We'll see. I don't know if it's next. I'm a little bit, I don't know the Seder yet. We have to. But I'm going to take a look a little bit for that reason at Parshas HaChodesh. Parshas HaChodesh, we read approximately Rosh Chodesh Nisan, this year on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, actually, on a I'm going to read Parshas HaChodesh. And I think there are two dimensions to this. There's one, a very straightforward dimension, and that is the fact that Pesach has come. So this is the halachas where we were, the tzivoy of the Korban Pesach. Is. We have in this parasha. It's all about that we're supposed to do. Be'esol ha'chodesh ha'zev, yiklum yisrael ha'besovot, yisrael ha'voiz, and not ha'bayis me'yoyis b'yisrael, etc. Se'somim, o'el ha'cham yishmeres, shochatu ha'yisov, lo'kchum ha'namon, lo'kchum ha'sabosim ha'layil ha'zev. Plethora of halachas concerning the Korban Pesach. So pashtus, that's, and this Moshe Rabbeinu came on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and he told them, Rishonu lechem lechot she'ashono, Chodesh hazeh lechem roish chadoshim. This was in Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So this is the parasha that we read. This is because this is how Moshe Rabbeinu had the tzivui that they should prepare for the first Pesach. So, Mameila, the preparation for Pesach, we come back to each year. And we come back to it wistfully and nostalgically. Meaning that Onu lo yizachinu. We can only look from the distance and imagine what it was to have a Korban Pesach. But we're betuchim, we're certain that it's going to be. So it's not just a longing for what was, but it's a longing for what will be. So this is the theme, really, in general, of the Dalit Parshias. Is Benisa Nigalu, Benisa Nasim Ligor. So that's Parsha Shkolim, that Berachad Ba'adam Hashmiyam Al Ashkolim, and Parsha Sporo, the person that became Tomei. So we had to undergo the process of Tara before Yudal Adisa. So that he could participate in the Pesach Rishon. And then finally, Achodesh Azalachem Rosh Chadosh. So this is the simplest view. But Rosh Chodesh Nisan, it's a very special day. It's the day of the Chanukah Samizbeach. It's the day that Aaron was inaugurated, Shmiri Limiluim. Moshe says many, many things took place in Be'echad Benisan. And I believe it stems from the fact, the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, there's a machloikus of the Tanoim, of Shua Nebelezer, when was Kriyas Ha'ilam, in Tishrei or Nisan. But everyone agrees that the Gula Asido will take place at the same time as Bria Sa'ilam. So if you say the world was created in Tishrei, then the Gula will take place in Tishrei. If the world was created in Nisan, the Gula Asido will take place in Nisan. Because then I believe the reason is because the Novi in Yeshaya describes it, the Gula as the Rabbi Shalom will make Hashemayim HaChadoshim, the new heavens. It's is chachas. It's something that wasn't there before. The geula is so different than what was there before. It can only take place at the time of the chachas. And if Nisan was Nivra Olam, that's the time that it's chachas in the Bria. And Meila, that's to be the time of Nisan Asidin Ligoy. I think all of these aspects deal with the fact of Ischachos. Right? The Mishkan was completed in Cheshvan. And yet they didn't inaugurate the Mishkan and actually until Rosh Chodesh Nisan they started to bring the regular Kabbalas. Because Nisan is the Nisan of Ischachos. And that's why also in this month you have, that's really the remez of the mitzvah. Av HaChodesh Hazeh Lechem Rosh Chodesh, Rishonu Lechem Lechodesh HaShana. The Chama is the same. It's higher in the sky, lower in the sky, but we see it the same all the time. When we see it, it's the same. The Levona has cycles. It waxes, it wanes. And what do we say in the Kiddush Levona? It's the Moshel of Klal Yisrael. And even if we see it and it's dark, but you know it will be light again. So, it's the Siman Shema Sidin Lishadesh Kamoisa. That Klal Yisrael will be Mishadesh as the Levona is Mishadesh. So the Levona is the symbol of Mishachas. And Nisan is the month of Mishachas. So, therefore, that's why we read Parshas Achodes Rishon Hu Lachem Lechodshe Hashana, that this is the Zman of Mishachas. And the Klal Yisrael with Mischadish, and the Etzem, that's really the notion B'chal of Pesach, I believe. The notion of Pesach is to raise the whole Avodah to a different level. And I think that's why I've always looked at it in this perspective. There's something strange about Pesach, very strange. You come to your house, and you say the whole house is treif. Food is treif, the kelim are treif, everything's treif, right? And you have to start everything from scratch, everything, right? You have to kasher the oven, get rid of the dishes, get rid of the food. It's like lahavdil, you bought a treif establishment, and you know wherever you turn, it's just no good. So the pshat is, we understand in our time. There's a person that's about tshuva. So one day he wasn't observant, and then he became observant, just the kasher his house. The Rebbeinu Shalom comes to all of us every year and he tells us, as compared to what you ought to be, or want you to be in the next year, you did nothing yet. That's the perspective that we have to take. A Batchan once came to a wedding where a Balatanya was. Long time ago. So the Batchan was supposed to say Musar to all the townspeople. So one after the other he went, but he skipped the Balatanya. I was saying, dear, you know, the Rav, the Balatanya, he's going to have something to say to him. So he skipped the Balatanya. So the Balatanya said, no, you have to talk about me too. Quite a pickle to be in. So the Batchan said, he did a good job, the Batchan. So the Batchan said like this. He says, let's analyze. He says, what's the difference between the Rebbe and me? What the Rebbe doesn't know, I don't know. What I know, the Rebbe also knows. So what's the difference between us? What the Rebbe knows, and I don't know. He says, but compared to how much there is to know in the Torah, the difference between us is minuscule. It's half a little fella. Did a good job. You know, you ask yourself, do I know Torah like Rabbi Akiva? So what do I know? So compared to what there is to know, the difference between the two of us is minuscule. The Rabbi Shalom wants a different level of Avodah. That's the Inyan, the Chol of Pesach. Now, it's achieved in two different types of ways. achieved in two different types of ways. Call to the Korban Pesach was a call for two different things. And Rashi at different points in the parasha explains this. Right after Parshas HaChodesh, so we have the direct tzivu, Mishchu Kulachem Tzayin B'Shachat or Pesach. So what does that mean? So we find really two different meanings. One is Mishchu Yedeichem Min Avodah Zarah, is to segregate yourself from the Avodah Zarah. Because in Mitzrayim, we became so caught up in the Egyptian culture that the Malachim ultimately were to say, Halolu Avdi Avodah Zarah, Halolu Avdi Avodah Zarah. It's like, what's the difference between them? What do you want, Rabbi Shalom? So one was the stepping away from the Egyptian culture. But there's another aspect of the Korban Pesach. And that aspect of the Korban Pesach is that the Rabbeinu Shalom said the Zman of the Gula came, but we don't have a mitzvah with which to be redeemed. So the Rabbeinu Shalom gave us two mitzvahs. He gave us Korban Pesach and he gave us Milah. Now, in other words, he reinforced we had to do Bris Milah now to prepare for the Korban Pesach, and then because Milah also lapsed in Mitzrayim, and then we did the Korban Pesach. So that's in the Aseh Tov, the Koyach of a mitzvah, a positive mitzvah. So this is the Hischachus that the Rabbeinu Shalom gave to Klal Yisrael. Now let's examine the first of them. On the Pesach we have, by the Korban Pesach, the Pesach Atem Loseitzu Yishu Pesach Beisu Ad Boiker. So there's a phenomenal piece for the Meshech Chochmah on this Pesach. And Rabbi Simcha writes the following, that Jewish history, he says, seems to be an enigma. He points to one enigma among many. In Mitzrayim, the people were halolu avdei, they were avdei avodah zarah. Bris Milah had lapsed. And yet, they merited that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam did nisim gluyim for them to take them out of Mitzrayim. In Golas Bavel, the people were from, by and large, the people were from. Okay, there was a relatively small number of exceptions, but by and large, the people were from. And yet, the Gemara says concerning the pasuk Ad Yavor Am Koshem Ad Yavor Am Zukalisa that Ruya Biashnia, the coming there to solve for the second Jewish Commonwealth, should have been accompanied by Nisim, as spectacular as the Nisim which accompanied the Yetzias Mitzrayim, the establishment of the first Jewish Commonwealth. Elo, the Gemara says cryptically, Shagor Machet. And the Mefarshim in different places in Shas I've seen take this up. What is Gemara is enigmatic, because the Gemara doesn't say Bat Chet, Ela Shagor Machet. Bat Chet. So Ramea Simcha says, in Godless Bobo, what was the Chet? The Chet was that they were from Jews, but they were not segregated and separated from the society around them. That's why you have intermarriage and all types of other manifestations, that there was no gvul, there was no boundary between Klal Yisrael and Umas Olam. So he says, here it's strange. In Mitzrayim, they were not particularly from. I mean, the best, in all from our terms, we would call it pretty much, you know, they were ethnic Jews. And they were Soichot to Nisim Gluyim. And in Bava, where they were from, Shagor Machet. And what was Mitzrayim? Didn't have, it doesn't say that Bris Milah lapsed in Bava. Doesn't say there were Avdei Avodah Zarah in Bavel. So he says the difference is because in times of Golus, what's most significant before the Rabbeinu Shel Olam is those things which define Jewish identity. And there's some, the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, in fact, looks more to that, he says, than he does the Ikrei Halachos in terms of determining how he's going to paskin for Klal Yisrael as a whole. In Mitzrayim, it's true, they were already in the Zohar. In Mitzrayim, they lapsed in Bris Milah. But Klal Yisrael, they were a Klal, they were a Tzibur. There was no intermarriage. They, linguistically, in the modality of dress, they were different. They were a nation. They were an Am. They were Zoychet and Isim Bluyim. And Bava, with all their frumkeit, but because they were not careful to keep segregated from the non-Jews, so there was Goram Achet, the Rebbeinu Shlomo refused to do Nisim for them. So in Golus, what's essential is what defines us as Jews, more than anything else. The Chofetz Chaim Zatzal wrote a very similar idea. In the notion is similar, in a little bit in a different context. I believe in Nidche Yisrael, so the Chofetz Chaim addresses the following question. He says, why is it that we find that Isa Koris, Isa Misa in the Torah, the punishments of Koris and Misa, I can find exclusively to Ben Adon Amokam Averis, with the singular exception of murder. Other than that, all the creases, and all the Mises Bezdin are for Ben Adon Amokam transgressions, and not for Ben Adon Amokam. What's the pshat? So he says the reason is because the chesed and the midas, these are universal observances. Every person in the world is mechuyev in them. Well, maybe we have different standards for them, or peter, etc., but everyone is mechuyev. That doesn't define us as Jews. You know, just because we have more charitable organizations than anyone else does not define us as Jewish. The world also has charitable organizations, not about the chesed. What defines us as Jews, particularly, is the Yachas Ben Adon Amokam, our relationship with the Rabbeinu Shalom. And therefore, there the Rabbeinu Shalom was more machmer than in any other place. Yeah, he says, of course you're not a fine Jew if you don't observe the Ben Adon Chaveiro. But what defines us as Klal Yisrael? What defines us as Klal Yisrael is the Ben Adon Amokam. That's the definite, that defines us as being Jews. That makes us distinct and unique. So the same notion, in other words, the Ben Adon Amokam, the Yachas, with the Rebbeinu Shlomo, Rebbeinu Simcha, said, in particular, it has to do with the things which keep us apart from non-Jewish society. That is said when we're, you know, outside Eretz Yisrael, that before the Rebbeinu Shlomo becomes Ikra Ikrim, more than anything else. It's an amazing Rebbeinu Simcha. Absolutely amazing. Yeah. And we talk about that the one aspect of the Korban Pesach is the koach of a mitzvah. So we find that the Chumta says that Klal Yisrael went and they observed the Korban Pesach. And so the Mechilta says, what's the pshat? Moshe Rabbeinu told them, the Osor L'Chodesh Hazeh, you should set aside this behavior. So they didn't actually do it on Rosh Chodesh. And yet, the Chumash says, Vayelchu Vayaseh B'Rei Yisrael, as if they did it immediately. So Rabbeinu Yonah says the following. So Rabbeinu Yonah says that this is to teach us the schar of a mitzvah. When a person is mekabel to do a mitzvah, as soon as a person is mekabel to do a mitzvah, he has schar before the Rabbeinu Shalom for the Asiyah. And Mameila, the schar already for the Korban, the Rebbeinu Shalom wanted really to maximize the schar they're going to have for the Korban Pesach. And so what did the Rebbeinu Shalom do? So the Rebbe Rishon gave them the mitzvah. And the schar they had immediately. So what do we have? So that schar is for a person that's mekabel to do a mitzvah. So the koyach of a mitzvah is such, it doesn't even necessitate that we did the mitzvah yet. The acceptance that we're mekabel upon ourselves to do the mitzvah, that's already the Rebbe Shalom will give us schar for. If we sincerely are mekabel to do the mitzvah, the Rebbe Shalom will give us schar from that moment. So this is the koyach, this is the koyach of a mitzvah. So that's the Michut. Af Alicha Monar Kosov Yitzchak. Vayechov Milchichi Kvar Osov Olamar Shchaydish Neem Olamar Kevich Kibdol Neemayl Neem Kosov Kilo Osov. Should be a soul, I presume, that Aleph is saying, you have a soul by you? Should be a soul, the Chara. So, this is the Metzius. The Metzius is that they needed Tzchah. And when did they get the Tzchah? As soon as they were Mekabel to do it, they received Tzchah. There's another aspect to this also. And it's another interpretation of Mishchu the Mechulta. Mishchu Misha Yeshlo, Ukhu Misha Enlo. So the simple pshat in the Mechilta is that if you own the animals, so take one of your own animals. If you don't own an animal, go to the marketplace and buy one. That's the simple pshat. One of the G'dayli Achrayinim learns differently. He says, Mishchu Misha Yeshlo. If you have, take one of yours. Ukhu Misha Enlo, meaning the one that is endowed with means, should purchase animals for those that don't have them. That's the way he learns pshat. So I said, that's the pshat. Now this was essential in two regards. First of all, there was the inyan that, as we mentioned, they needed the schus hamitzvah to be redeemed. But most of Klal Yisrael was not in a position to be able to afford to bring the Korban Pesach. So lulei, this undertaking, for the sake of those that didn't have, they never would have been able to celebrate the first Korban Pesach altogether. That's the one thing. There's also a medrash, that Klal Yisrael saw they weren't being redeemed, so what did they do? They started to do chesed for each other. And the chesed they did for each other is what put it over the top that they should be redeemed. Now, even here, there's an aspect of this chesed is in the first Korban Pesach. So I believe that that's the pshat when Yerushalmi tells us that Moos Chitim is a minu kodum. The first Moos Chitim wasn't Mitzrayim to write a Korban Pesach. It's ancient. It's all the way from Mitzrayim it took place. And that's how we were redeemed, and that's why we place such emphasis on this mitzvah. Because we talk the schus that they were Makayim Pesach, when we talk the chesed Shabbat, the schus of the chesed, this brought about the Gula. And I think that's also the pshat in this very mysterious introduction that we have. In Golas Bovel, they introduced Tolach Ma'anyo, the Achola of a son of Arad and Mitzrayim. Kodich Tzrich Yetze V'Yivsach, Kodich Fin Yetze V'Yechel. The entire introduction is strange. First of all, even if they said it in Eretz Yisrael, it wouldn't make any sense. You can't sit down in the night of the Pesach and call the Hudistrich Yisim Pesach. It's in a Pesach Necha Lelelem Nuya. You have to sign on before the Shechita. So you can't invite a guy to the night of Pesach, jump in and join the Korban Pesach. It's too late. So even if it had been in Eretz Yisrael, we couldn't say Hudistrich Yisim Pesach. And Bifrat, that this is Muslim, why is it in Aramaic? Because it was added in the Golos. So in the Golos altogether, what are they talking about? This one, unfortunately, this was forlorn already, the idea of a Korban Pesach at this time. Even called Distrukhes of Yifsach. And then we say, called Dichvin Yisav Yechel. Kunst to say, don't Dichvin Yisav Yechel. You lock the doors, you make Kiddush, and you say, called Dichvin Yisav Yechel. Now, my Zayda, my father's father, was a soldier in the Tsar's army in 1890, years around 1890, for 3 years around 1895. So he told my father, Mashallah, part of the time he was somewhere way up in the Arctic Circle, in northern Russia. And in a town in northern Russia, there was a very wealthy Jew who lived. And outside his house hung a sign, an entire year, outside the house, called Dichvin Yisav Yechel. And a Yid could go in there any time, either day or night, and they gave you food, they gave you meal to eat. But that's a called Dichvin Yisav Yechel, you know. Hang it up in the street and open up the doors and let the meal. But it's called Dichvin Yisav Yechel behind closed doors. It's like, you know, grace of kunz. So I think the pshat is that what we're saying is like this. That we used to do the Mois Chita with Kol Distruch Yisav Yifsach. That's what we used to do. Nowadays, all we can do with is Bezer Anpen. We did Kol Dichvin Yisav Yechel. It's not the invitation now. That's what we're able to do. That's, and we did it. Before Yom Kippur, we did it. But Hoshat HaHochol, Lashon HaBo Ba'arad Yisrael, what we're asking the Rabbeinu Shel Olam is that next year we be zeich, in fact, that we go back to the original, that Kol Distruch Yisav Yifsach, that we'll be able to, not just to provide a guy with matzah and wine, but we'll give him a Korban Pesach too if he needs it. You know. So that's, and this stems all the way back from the Mishchu Chulachem, that this was the celebration of the first Korban Pesach. For the celebration of the first Korban Pesach. Now, Shaila is the following. I should have gone with me this tonight. We'll save this for that part for another time. Take the chance. Give me a moment to decide. What does the word Pesach mean? What does the word Pesach mean? So Rashi says there are two meanings to the word. The Rashi is in Pasuk Yud Gimel. The second pshat is the pshat that we're all familiar with. That the Rebbe Shalom jumped over, he skipped over. The first pshat of Rashi, though, v'chomalti, pasachti, is from the Lashon of chemla. And it could be it comes from the root, really, of chos, with the letters inverted. That the Rebbe Shalom had rachmonas in Klal Yisrael. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam had Rachmonos and Klal Yisrael. So the pshat is that what did we have on the night of Pesach? We had a small amount of merit, but it did not ultimately change the fact that the Malachim were able to say Halalu Abdi Avodah Zarah when we were in the Yamsuf. So that day, a week later, that didn't change. So that means in Mitzrayim, we certainly were in that situation. So why is it that we're Zaycha? So the Chumash tells us. Everything is open and obvious before the Rebbeinu. Because Rashi learns, is actually there's a machlokes in the Mechilta about this. Rashi learns, what is the word lochem? So Rashi learns, this pshat learns lochem as we have by tefillin lochem. So this Tana, the Machlokes Tanoim in the Mechilta, learns that the dam was inside the house, so it wasn't visible from the outside. That's Lachem. There is another Tana in the Mechilta that says the dam was on the outside of the Mashkel. So what Rashi brings the Pshat, because Lenitno Adam Alevi Mifnim, and that's Lachem Lois Velo Lachayrim, as we have by Tefillin. For Aisi Es Adam, nevertheless, the Rebbeinu Shalom says, Akol Goli Lefonov. To the Rebbeinu Shalom, inside and outside doesn't make a difference, it's all the same. El Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Noisen Ani Yesein Ay Lirois Shatem Asukim B'mitzvah Yisai. I took heed of the fact, Shatem Asukim B'mitzvah Yisai, that you're busy with my mitzvahs. I gave you a mitzvah of Korban Pesach, Shechitas Korban Pesach, Vochlu Asabosa B'lai L'azeh. And you Asukim B'mitzvah Yisai, Yisru Poseach Ani Aleicha. Yischus that a person has, at that moment, he's being oisik b'mitzvah, that's enough to be matzah. Despite the fact that his overall situation is not very great. And overall, it's roy to say about him, he's oisik b'mitzvah. But at this moment, he's being oisik b'mitzvah. The Rebbeinu Shalom says, I see them being oisik in my mitzvahs, u'poseach ani aleichem es chamalti, Abrachman asana. The Chosid Yaivitz is a similar notion that when Hillel said, Al Tifrish Min HaTzibur, so he said, this is not talking to a person that doesn't want to know about the Jewish community. So the Chosid Yaivitz said, I've already explained earlier that Masechta Avos is talking to a person that serves the Rebbeinu Shalom with Midas and Chassidus. He's an extremely pious person. But such a person could have Cheshbonos that it interferes with his avodah at times. He needs to be off by himself. He shouldn't mix with the tzibur too much. So he says the first thing, if the tzibur gathers for tefillah to move his palo, you should be there. Why, he said? Because when the tzibur gathers for tefillah to move his palo for some particular tzar, it's an eis rotzon before the Rebbeinu Shalom. And the tremendous brocha that comes at that hour to whoever's mishtatif in that tefillah. And he says that the koyach before the Rebbeinu Shalom of that tefillah is so significant that the Rebbeinu Shalom looks away from Mumei HaRishon. The Rishon come and they have their difficulties, the Rebbeinu Shalom looks away from their deficiencies. And he says that's the meaning of the Chazal where it says that when Hargar Ba'asher Rishon, I mean, that if a person sincerely, because she was mispalelis before the Rebbeinu Shalom, a sincere tefillah, is the Rebbeinu Shalom, he drops the, if at a moment, he drops the antecedents, he drops the resultants, just focused on this moment. And this moment, the person's pouring out the heart and tefillah before me, is the Rebbeinu Shalom says, I'm a kabbal that tefillah. And that's Rashi. Rashi is telling us here, the schus that there are sukkim mitzvah. They're far from being in order. We can castigate them, the malachim will yet castigate them as alodu over there with the zor, alodu over there with the zor. But the power of doing the mitzvah, they just gave them the mitzvah. And particularly in this mitzvah, both of the mitzvahs that the Rebbeinu Shalom gave them involved Mesiras Nefesh. Bris Milah was not easy to do. And Korban Pesach was altogether frightening to do. You're going to tell the Egyptians, right, they set aside the set on Yud Nisan. So they asked them what this is about. So they told them, okay, in 4 days we're going to slaughter them. This is their deity. I mean, just imagine in any society we're going to tell them, in 4 days we're going to go smash you all your avodah zarah. You know. Sakaras nefoshes mamash.
In India too, they have the same idea. In India, they have deities of animals today.
Deities, animals, yeah. So, the sakana, and here they went, and they went with tremendous mesiras nefesh. They had tremendous amun on the Rebbeinu Shlomo. So the mitzvah itself, I mean, it could be true of any mitzvah, but particularly of this mitzvah. There were asugim mitzvah with mesiras nefesh. This mitzvah was not an easy mitzvah. You had to have a tremendous, tremendous faith in the Rebbeinu Shlomo to think about doing this mitzvah. So this is the tzchus, the koyach, that's attendant to Klal Yisrael doing a mitzvah. What else was given as the mitzvah? They were given mitzvahs matzah. This parshivas yomim matzahs tochelu. Ach bayom arishon tashbisus olam levoteichem, etc. There's a mitzvah of matzah. The Ramea Simcha has a phenomenal notion concerning mitzvahs matzah. A phenomenal notion. This is Rishalmi in the beginning of Avodah Zarah, Sechet Avodah Zarah. And the way he interprets the Rishalmi is that chametz was an integral part of the Avodah of the Avodah Zarah. And that's l'chayr pshat, why in the Rambam, in the Sefer Amora, the Rambam writes, because this was the derech of the Avodah Zarah, that they used this as part of their worship. So Ramea Simcha says, we don't, you know, Shas is usually very brief on the details of Avodah Zarah. You can't get it, it's not a primer on how to actually be over the Avodah Zarah. But it tells us that the Chometz was a fundamental aspect of the Avodah Zarah. So that means the matzah. Not only the Korban Pesach. The Korban Pesach, we took the deity of Mitzrayim, and the matzah was to break away from the chametz, which is also a step away from Avodah Zarah. That our Avodah is going to be totally different. We're going to shun the Avodah Zarah, and we have our own style of Avodah with matzah. So both of them are taking that step away from Avodah Zarah, Korban Pesach and the matzah. And I think that's why the parallels are amazing. Where do you have a din that you can't keep? You have to destroy something, and you have to get rid of it. It's Osir Bahano, Ayavay the Zohar, you have those dinim. Chometz parallels the dinim of Ayavay the Zohar. You have to get rid of it. You have to remove it from your rishus. You have to burn it, because according to Ramea Simcha, it comes out. It's my own hosafa, but this is part of segregating us all from the world of Avodah Zarah. So, this is a fundamental part of Pesach, and it's probably true b'chol dor v'dor. You know what I mean? Probably true b'chol dor v'dor. That b'chol dor v'dor we have to ask ourselves, what are the notions of the non-Jewish world around us which are antithetical to Yadus? And the call of Pesach is to take a step away from those things. V'atem lo seitzu ish mi-Pesach beitzu ad boiker, as Rabbi Simcha renders it, until the gula comes, hide. Don't expose yourself to the world around you. It's at your own peril. So, b'chol dor v'dor, we have to ask ourselves, what where society is. It's antithetical to what we believe.
So 2015?
2015, it's easy at our age. It's a basic morality. It doesn't exist in the world anymore. You know, personal morality doesn't exist. They wiped it off the map. Totally removed from the map. It's a Victorian notion. You know, what else? Amunah. The Amunah is extremely superficial in our society. In European society, they don't even bother with the superficialities. I mean, the houses of worship, the non-Jewish houses of worship, empty. They're not bothered with altogether. But, you know, one of our people was telling me that in the professional world, so he said, when the non-Jews used to marry, so there was a huge asing because this was this type of Protestant, you know, they had some other religion. So how are we going to work this out? He says, there are no more negotiations on this subject anymore. Why? Because neither one of them is from. So in a way, that's a non-issue. A door back was a huge issue.
Same thing with us. The intermarriage is 60, 70, 80% in most places. The same idea.
Yeah, but it's in our case, it's more understandable. In our case, if you don't have a very strong chinuch, which most people don't, and you live in a non-Jewish culture, so what happens? What do you think is going to happen to you? I mean, I go, there's a guy that I know near where I stay, a very nice fellow, near where I stay in White Lake. And his father, you see a picture of his father is, you know, a Hungarian Jew, you know, a poshut yid, you know, he wasn't wearing, you know, poshut, regular work clothes. But there's a picture he has a Hungarian last name, and it's a picture of a Hungarian Jew. I mean, in Sakma, he's one of them boys, you know. The picture is a classic. He's not a Polish Jew, he's not a Russian Jew, he's a Hungarian Jew, all the way. No, so he lived in the country. So with someone did a public school. No? So his son married a nice chiksa, you know, a nice gaita. What do you expect? But in the non-Jewish society, they don't have the problem being the minority, they're the majority. So it's not that they're trying to assimilate into something else. It's the chesedus and amunah. And we're the ones, it's not that we changed, it's the world around us changed. I point out to my talmidim all the time, if you want to see something amazing, nowadays, in the age of the internet, you don't have to bother to go to the library. You can get it online. I'm sure you can find it in 2 seconds. It's etched in stone in the Lincoln Memorial, the second inaugural address of Abraham Lincoln. Basically, what he has to say, you can imagine a mashgiach and yeshiva b'nei Brak, if he is saying. Basically, he says it's already near the end of the Civil War. So he says, the destruction of the South was for what reason? The Rabbeinu Shalom wanted that it shouldn't be Chayte Viska. That's what he says, spell it flat out. That, you know, the gains, the ill-begotten gains of slavery should be destroyed so that they shouldn't benefit from them. That's his perspective on the destruction of the Civil War. Can you imagine that they say this, a politician would get up and say that today? And this is the president in the inaugural address, addressing the entire nation, how he understands the time he lives in. So I tell my Talmidim, who changed? We didn't change. They changed. They lost their amunah. But those are the things. Morality and amunah. Those are the things, to me, that are the two biggest today. And we don't put nearly enough emphasis on amunah. Not nearly enough emphasis on them. That's a subject yet for another time.
rule that should be the problem.